My first memories, I think, the first memory that stands out really, I think, was the sinking of the Titanic. And the reason this was so outstanding is that the town, things weren't so noisy in those days as they are now, but the town went absolutely quiet. A great hush descended on the town because I don't think that there was hardly a single street in Southampton who hadn't lost somebody on that ship. And it was, as you know, supposed to be unsinkable, and it was a very great shock.
And as I say, everybody run down there. Of course, it was real panic. I can see it now. I can visualize them, the women running out, you know, in their aprons or whatever, busy doing their household chores, and forget everything and all run down to the shipping office. That was the only place you could get any news, you see.
My grandmother was the headmistress there, and after my mother trained, she went back and helped her mother. Remember the story my mother told? She was visiting my grandmother, and they went into this one class, and grandmother said, stand up any child who has a relative on the Titanic. And the whole class stood up. And one little mite said, oh, there's no need to worry, miss. The Olympic is rushing to her aid.
We always knew. It's one of those things. It was one of those things. And people used to say, oh, you know, your dad was on the Titanic. And it was quite a thing, really. And we always said, oh, dad was on the Titanic, you know. But it was just one thing I suppose we grew up with. She wasn't a woman really to dwell on things, but she did say that she was walking along Weymouth Front and someone said the Titanic had sunk and George Simons was on it and she fainted. But that's about, but of course he was saved. He was a lookout, he was a seaman, you know, and he was in the crow's nest before the Titanic sank. He was on duty, and apparently he reported that he smelt ice. And he did tell me that when he went to America, that they were made a terrific fuss of. And he went to the White House, and but when he came back to England, I think that's when the criticisms started. He never spoke about it very much. I remember once when we were children, well, I don't know how old I was, but he did come one day and say that the Daily Sketch, or one of those, they were running a series on the Titanic. And he said to me then, you may read something that is a bit detrimental, but don't believe all you hear. And I think he would have spoken about it then, but being a youngster, I never really bothered. He was my dad and I loved him, you know. And then when the Mary, when she was first there, we cycled down to Millbrook Point and we went up on the bridge and he stood there looking at it and he looked very sad. And he said that that's where the Titanic broke in half, he said. And I never asked him anything, you know, I wished I had, but there I didn't. And that was all. And then every year when the date of the Titanic came, he used to pop off on his bike and my mother used to say to me, you know where he's gone, don't you? And he always went to the Titanic. Never said anything, just used to go to the Titanic Memorial.
It was 1 o'clock in the morning, I was in my cabin asleep, when one of the head stewards came in and woke me up. He told me if I wanted to see anyone else alive, I'd have to get up because the ship is sinking. I got up and put a few bits of clothes on,
and went up to the working alleyway. I went from there to the bow of the ship. And when I got up to the bow of the ship, the water and the ice was coming over the gunwales. I stood there for a little while and said a prayer. I left there and made my way up to the promenade deck, where I saw three ladies, arm in arm, walking up and down. I said to them, I said, you come along with me. I said, the ship's sinking, and we'll go up and see if there's any lifeboats left. She said, we're all right, steward, the ship can't sink. We don't want to go down in one of those little boats. I left them and went up to the boat deck, and I saw one lifeboat left in the corner. I started taking the canvas off when the sailor coming out me. And we got the boats sung out, and the officer come along and asked me if I could row. I said, yes, sir. He said, get in the boat, he said, and take the bow oar. We were filled up with women and children. Their husbands had to remain behind, and it was very sad.
Mrs. Haseman, on the 14th of April, where were you at 11:40?
Well, I was in my cabin at the time when it struck the iceberg.
Were you asleep?
Asleep. But the vibration was so great, and when she struck, she was going so fast, she struck the iceberg and was thrown back. She'd done it the second time and thrown back. Third time she stopped. Well, my father never said anything, but he was smoking a cigar, and we just, as I told you, he went up on deck to see what the trouble was. Then he came back and told us to get dressed and come up on deck. And then, of course, we stayed there. We must have been there for over an hour before anything came. Nobody worried about it. Some of the people from the third class must have come up, playing with the ice in the on deck. A lot of them, and people in the first class, they wouldn't believe it. They said, no, she's unsickled. They went back to bed. The lifeboats had to swing out. He gave that order. Then you saw the crew had to put the boats out. And being new boats, it was a bit difficult. The ropes were a bit tight to get down, you know.
So you were stood by the lifeboats at that time?
Yes, we were on deck watching them, you see, until the officer came along and said, women and children first. Well, my father put my mother and I into the lifeboat and said goodbye to him. And then gradually others came along and they got into the lifeboat and all. We had quite a lot of people on our lifeboat. All he said, when he said goodbye to us, I'll see you in New York. You couldn't feel the boat was going. Because till you were out in the lifeboat, when you're out in the lifeboat, you could see her lights going down, disappearing like that. Because she was as high as this building, you know, very high ship. And you could see her lights disappearing all the time, till it got to the boilers, and then a most terrible explosion. And of course, when after the explosion, she went down slow like that.
Did you actually see the Titanic go down?
Of course, yes. See and hear. She broke in half as she was sinking, and the noise of the sort of big explosion was terrible. And the bows went down first, and the stern stuck up in the ocean what seemed to me like almost like a long time. Of course, it wasn't. But it sort of stood up stark against the sky and then heeled over and went down. And you could hear the people screaming and threshing about in the water. That was the most dreadful thing.
Did you hear music? Did you hear the band?
I certainly did. Certainly wasn't a band, it was just a few musicians, yes. I did. And we realised then, I suppose, that the absence of noise meant that the people we'd left behind we'd never see again. I don't know, I wasn't capable of thinking that at that age, but I think it now, of course.
I remember in those days there wasn't much in the way of assistance for widows and orphans, and I can quite clearly remember going to a concert probably a bit later in the same year that was sunk, which was in aid of the widows and orphans. The admission was tuppence, and I can distinctly remember the turns that went on those days, because in those days these little concerts for charities and one thing another were quite a feature of life, and that is where we got our entertainment from, being no television or wireless or anything like that.